is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 482. This is our membership drive. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by co-host Tracy Schultz.
Hey.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. I think you know this by now, but we stream this live on KOOP.org. You better not touch that dial. We will be right back.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
To help unhappy commoners.
It is Wednesday, September 12th, 2018, our fall membership drive. On the show today, we have City Theater talking about The Who's Tommy. And as I mentioned before, this is our spring, fall membership. One of the two. It's either the spring or the fall membership drive. I am challenged on that thing. Of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, New Haven, New London, and all the new towns. Stick around. All right, so I'm thinking that maybe Gilbert and Sullivan wasn't a good choice for that. So I'm just saying it was a little, but it's talk about helping the unhappy commoners. And that's what we need you guys to do, our lovely listeners. We need to help the unhappy commoners. And in this case, the unhappy commoners are us. So we want you, this is indeed our membership drive. I was just about to call you DJ Carol. Because I know a DJ Carol.
I'm DJ Harris.
I know, but DJ Carol actually was a very famous Broadway actor who passed away.
Well, I'm still living.
David James Carol. DJ Harris is still with us.
Yes.
But he does do a show about dead people.
That's right. Graveside Service, yeah. Which is heard on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock here on Co-op Radio. But I am here because we are in membership drive mode.
Membership drive,
membership
yes.
drive
We're
going to
shop
mode.
It up. So here's a quiz for you. Oh, before, let's tell people where to call.
512-472-5667.
Right. Well,
you can also visit our website.
And you guys better heed his warning. You know, we're not allowed to command people to do things on this radio station on a normal basis, but twice a year, we're allowed to do a lot of it, so we do. So I need you to pick up that phone, dial 512-472-5667, and give to the radio station. Voila. All right, let's introduce the folks that are sitting here with us. We have Jacob Barber. Hi, Jacob.
Howdy.
We have Michelle Malia. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
And Wendy Zavaleta. Hi.
Hey.
How are you guys? And of course, the incomparable Tracy Schultz.
Hello.
So Tracy, first of all, we do things all out of order. Whack here. I want to check in with you. How are you doing?
Doing well.
You're substituting for the incomparable Nicole Shiro, who's not feeling very well today.
I wish her nothing but the best. I hope a speedy recovery. But this is always fun to be able to sit in and be able to help out. I've been done this a couple of weeks now.
I have to do this for Nicole Shiro. Okay, that's for Nicole. She's not feeling well, so she gets one of those.
Okay. Very, very dramatic.
Yep. So how are you?
Doing well. It's like it's kind of a little rainy out here. It's like, but other than that, I've been able to get through. It's like getting by. It's been nice, but it's always a pleasure. I don't have a catchphrase. Like when Nick was here, they had Nick Squared. I don't necessarily have a call out just
yet.
Well,
we'll get one for you. I don't have one either, so don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad.
Something to work on for myself.
So this is the first time that you and I have worked like this before. So this
yes.
is, well, you have been on this show so often. You are indeed one of the offstage and on their family. So, but I'm really thrilled that we get to play like together like this.
Yeah, this is kind of a nice little change of pace. It's like,
yeah,
that's really, really
so
nice.
Let's talk about what's been going on in the world. Y'all been paying attention in the theater world out there?
Somewhat.
Anybody?
Well, a little.
The biggest thing that happened, I think, we lost an icon of theater. We lost Carol Shelley, who died at age 79 of cancer. And I had the honor to sort of tangentially work with her. So she did The Elephant Man, which she won a Tony for. Has anybody seen the play, The Elephant Man?
No.
Amazing. It was it was one of the first things I worked on in New York. And I did a tour that went, and we rehearsed alongside of Philip Englund and Carol Shelley, who did the original. And I worked with Matthew Caulfield, Maxwell Caulfield, and Juliet Mills, who played those roles. Anyway, so Carol Shelley was in that, so I got the honor, and she's very, very, very famous. Broadway actor. People will know her. Anybody watch either the series or the television show? Those are the same things. The series or the movie, The Odd Couple?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah. Yeah.
She was one of the Pigeon Sisters.
Oh.
In both the movie and the series.
Okay.
She was the taller, brown-haired-er one. I
that
think.
One. Sure.
She was the one that spoke like this. They both did. but she was also the original Mrs. Moribund in Wicked, which I also had the honor of seeing.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So are y'all impressed with me? Because that's what it's really all about.
Yes.
How was she as a person? It's like, did you get to
I did not her? Get to know her that well. So I'm going to just say she was wonderful because never speak ill of the dead.
Right?
To her performance in The Elephant Man, which was amazing. I've never seen a show like that when I first saw The Elephant Man. So for those of you, seen The Elephant Man movie?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it tells the story of the true story of David Merrick, who had elephantiasis, just a really a severe birth defect that made him look like an elephant man. And Philip Anglim, I have a hard time saying his name, Anglim, something like that, played him in the original. And the play starts with this man that was standing upright and very well postured. And as the doctor describes David Merrick's condition, he makes him an elephant man with his beautiful, beautifully perfect body. And he lives that way for the next 2 hours, and you believe him 100%. And it was one of the most amazing things I had seen at that time, that where an actor really could transform his body just by his acting ability and his physical transformation of his own perfect body. It was just amazing.
Amazing.
Wow. So if you ever get a chance to see The Elephant Man as a play, I highly recommend it. It's a beautiful piece, and it was done very well. But in her performance, Richard Edier, who wrote for The Times at the time, said she is, of her performance, she is strained, moved, tender, and funny by turns, beating her way like a golden bird through Merrick's deformities and into his feelings. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty amazing. So rest in peace, Carol Shelley. Here's her in Mrs. Moribund and Wicked.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Wow.
So
wow.
Here, I'll show it to the listening audience.
You see it?
Okay. So that was for you, listening audience. But she was good. I was fortunate enough. I found... I knew the book Wicked, the Maguire books. He was like a real big fan. And I happened to be in San Francisco getting ready to ride in the AIDS ride from San Francisco to Los Angeles. And I was the night before we left, and I was walking along the street, and I saw Wicked on the marquee. And I said, is that my Wicked? Because, of course, I own it. And I went in, and sure enough, I saw it, and it had Idina Menzel, it had Joel Grey, it had Carol Shelley. I saw Wayne Cilento, who is a friend of mine, and he was the choreographer of it. So it was pretty amazing to just sort of happen to see the original. Of course, has everybody seen Wicked?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah.
It's a couple times.
It's coming back through.
DJ Harris, have you seen Wicked?
I have.
Oh, good. Yay. Yeah, I like it. It's some people sort of diss it as being like, fluff, but I kind of like fluff.
I do too.
There's nothing quite like it. I mean, you can't put that kind of spectacle on in many other shows, and it's pretty incredible what they do.
It's true.
Yeah.
And if you have not read the book, it's worth reading that book. He wrote several of those. He wrote Wicked, Son of a Witch. He wrote my favorite, Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister. It's the story, the Cinderella story told from the sisters. He wrote some that I don't like around Scrooge and things like that. But he wrote some really great things. Now, the other big thing, and I really wish that Nicole was here for this, because there's been this sleep, I don't even want to call it a sleeper show. It's a show called Be More Chill. And it is moving to Broadway. It's currently off Broadway. It was sold out Has anybody heard of it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Do you know anything about it? You're smiling.
Yeah. I had a friend when I was doing Bear last year who found that show, and he had a very interesting turnaround because he had very strong feelings against it. And then about a month later, he was like obsessed with the show. So it's, and that seems to be the story I hear with a lot of people who like that show, is when they first heard it, they like viscerally reacted against it, but then later they like fell in love with it. It's very interesting. It's a different show, and it's, the music is very unique, I think, and I really appreciate that.
Well, they did it in 2015 in New Jersey at Two Rivers Theater, and it did not get a good review. And it pretty much that was going to be it for it. They all thought. Actually, I want to tell you who the creative team is. The music is by Joe Iconis, and the book is Joe Trays. And it's directed by Stephen Brackett. None of these people. Stephen Brackett, I believe, is a high school teacher or a teacher of some sort. Wasn't going to have any movement. And then they decided to record an album. And they recorded a cast album. And through social media, it caught on like wildfire. They were not ready for it. It was like, it has had, I highlighted this. It's been streamed more than 170 million times.
Wow.
That's the album. And people were doing all this fan animation about it. And we talked about this on this show probably about 6 or 7 months ago, where the song, I keep forgetting, it's Dave in the Bathroom or something about mm-hmm. And it's about a bunch of nerds that are social outcasts and their lives. So they decided to move it off Broadway. Sold out before it opened. And it's off Broadway right now. I think they've got one more week to go. So they're moving it to Broadway. And it's what a great thing. This is amazing. I think that Wendy and I think you and I can appreciate this in terms of producing it. They needed, I want to find it. They needed $9.5 million to capitalize to go to Broadway. Yeah, $9.5 million to capitalize to go to Broadway. Already raised it, like within a week.
Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous.
Isn't that amazing? In just a few days, he said they raised that money. Isn't that amazing? $9.5 million. I would just like the 0.5.
I know, exactly.
Be very, very happy with
who
it.
Who wouldn't?
But I'm real happy for this because it never got good reviews. Which is in an industry that needs reviews to live in many times, it's great. So I my hat's off to them, I should say. But your friend who was off it and now on it, I guess, mm-hmm. Are they going to try to go see it?
I think they probably will. I don't know how often he gets up to New York, but I know he's like obsessed with the show now. So, you know, I'm pulling for him to go see it. I'm not too hot on it, but you know, that's
you
just
should
personal
be. It's
taste.
A big deal. All right. So before we bring DJ back, I want to talk about one last thing. This isn't really theater. This is, Oscars. So y'all know that they added a new category to the Oscars this year. Mm-hmm. Most popular.
Yeah.
Right? Gone.
Yeah. Oh, it's gone?
Yes, gone. Thank God.
So,
I mean,
so not surprised.
It was quick.
Wow.
Yeah, gone.
There must have been an uproar about that.
Well, they say they want to do something. There was a huge uproar, and they used Black Panther as an example because Black Panther, ostensibly very popular, yet very, very good. But they thought that if it won the most popular and didn't win Best Picture, it would be relegated to second-class citizenship, of which... exactly. So we do this to our African-American fellow citizens all the time, and this would be just yet another example of doing that. But they nixed it, and I'm very happy they did.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I just read that. Well, this is from a failing newspaper. So you have to take that into account. It's a paper that doesn't have a lot of credibility.
Okay.
New York Times. And
I guessed it.
So you have to take that. You have to take that into consideration when you read anything from this failing newspaper. Here's one of the things I want to say to you. If you call in and become a member of our radio station, I will have James Earl Jones thank you personally.
There you go.
So thank you very much, Katie and Anonymous.
Yeah.
That's
and
very good.
Join us, 512-472-5667, or go to koop.org and become a member there.
It's time to do your part. Those of you who are offstage and on the air listeners and aficionados, of which I know I at least have two, you should
I'm one of them.
And, well, okay, so the one more of you, and I think I know who you are. So, but thank you, DJ.
Yes.
All right, let's carry on. We have three new EGOTs.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned something about the Emmys today. This I didn't understand. So the new EGOTs are, does everybody know who the EGOTs are?
Yeah, I know one of them.
Okay.
John Legend is one. Sorry, I took your thunder.
Way to go. first of all, before we move on, I'd like to welcome Jeff Hinkle into the studio. Hello, Jeff. Share one of these microphones with some of your lovely people. Hello. Oh, the dulcet tones of Jeff Hinkle. John Legend was one. So that's a hint for the other two, because it's the same project.
Lloyd Webber was the other one. And Tim Rice.
You got all three.
You're so smart.
There you go. So they join the EGOTs because they won Creative Emmy Awards. Now, as I'm reading this, I'm going, what the double H-E double hockey sticks is the Creative Emmy Awards? Aren't the Emmy Awards the Emmy Awards?
Right.
But they're not. There are three different Emmy Awards. There's the Creative Emmy Awards, which are typically for behind-the-scenes folks. There's the Primetime Emmy Awards. And then there's the Daytime Emmy Awards. And they're all three separate things. I did not know that.
Oh.
The Primetime Emmy Awards are this coming Sunday, of which This Is Us will be winning everything, as far as I'm concerned. So other EGOT winners include Audrey Hepburn, Whoopi Goldberg, and Mel Brooks. And of course, I can't remember who they are, but there's also the PEGOTs.
Okay.
If you add the Pulitzer.
Oh,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, and there's a few people that have that. I can't remember who it is, though.
Doesn't Lin have one?
Yeah.
Doesn't Lin-Manuel Miranda have one?
I think he has an EGOT, yes.
But he has a Pulitzer, too, because Hamilton won, didn't it?
Oh, I think you might be right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't pretend to know.
Jeff's giving me the thumbs up, which is all
Jeff
I
Hinkle
need.
Gives him the thumbs up, so that's all that's good. But I think that's great, and I'm going to watch the Emmys. Anybody else a TV fanatic like I am?
Yeah, I watch a lot of TV. Did you watch Jesus Christ Superstar?
I did, and we spoke about it on the show. Did you love it?
I really did.
So of all the live performances that have ever been done, that is by far the best. John Legend, God love you, can't act your way out of a paper bag.
I know.
Everybody else, with the exception of, was not crazy about Alice Cooper.
I know.
I loved him in the live
Judas.
Recording.
Judas. No, he doesn't win.
You would be wrong.
Shots fired.
So those are the two weak points of it were those two things, but it had a great feeling behind it.
Yeah.
It was, and my favorite, but I mean, there's so many different favorites on that, but Sarah Bareilles was so sweet as Mary Magdalene.
She's good.
I saw her, so I've been doing a lot of traveling, and American Airlines has these entertainment channels, and they have a Broadway channel, and of course I have to look at it, and they had an interview with her talking about Waitress, and she's just such, I want to interview Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah.
So if you hear me, Sarah Bareilles and Laura Benanti, you know, perhaps the two of you can come on the show and talk to me. I would like that.
We'll make that happen for you.
Yeah. Thank you, Tracy. That's so nice of you. Let's see. Oh, Taylor Mack, who I keep getting confused. Y'all are going to laugh. Do y'all know who Taylor Mack is?
No.
He's a playwright. I'm sorry. Not he's a playwright. Shoot. I'm going to forget their pronoun. Hold on. They got a crazy pronoun. Oh. Don't go away. I'm going to come up with it when I see this thing. But I will tell this. Those of you that Taylor Mack wrote Here, H-I-R, which just had a show in here not too long ago. I don't think I printed it out. I'm going to find it. Anyway, their pronoun is something like Millie.
Really?
It's a name.
That's
so a instead
one.
Of instead of saying he, she, they, them, you say Millie.
Millie.
So
that's interesting.
It's not Millie. It's a different one. I can't find it. Somebody will call in. I'm sure that Nicole is busy texting right now and telling me what it is. But Taylor Mack has got a new play, and I'm going to have to try to remember who is in it because it's amazing. Oh, it's what's her name? Who was in Pippin and
Andrea
Saturday
Martin.
Night Live? Andrea Martin and
John Mulaney, I know, is in it.
No,
isn't he?
It's only one other person. He was just in that other show. Darn it! He was in The Producers with Matthew Broderick.
Oh, Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane.
Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you. So I was trying to think of something that the old mind would come up with. And there's a third person has yet to be named that's going to be in it. One of the podcasts I... Yes?
Oh, I was just going to say Taylor Mack goes by Judy.
Judy, that's it. Judy is Judy's pronoun.
Yeah, lowercase sic, not as a name, but as a gender pronoun.
So Taylor Mack, Judy has a show coming out on Broadway. This is Judy's first appearance on Broadway. Judy's very well known, and but I keep getting Judy confused with Bernie Mac, and there could not be any difference, any further difference between the two. All right, I'm going to have to stop. I will say this, on our website, there's a couple things that you're going to want to have the opportunity to go and click on, because we're not going to have time to talk about it. But the New York Times on the front page had King Kong, which we've talked about on the show a lot, but there's video. If you've not seen this puppet work, it would be fun, if you felt like it, to go to the New York Times and look at this video. It's amazing what they do with this puppet, especially in its facial expressions. You see how it takes like 10 people to run it. That you see how it works with its entire body. I don't find that nearly as impressive as its facial expressions. There's also, I believe it was in Playbill, the 10 most represented universities on Broadway. There's a whole list. And so I'll quiz this group about out of, I'll give you the list of names. University of North Carolina School of the Arts, Juilliard, Northwestern, Pace University, Boston Conservatory, Carnegie Mellon, there's the Bernie Mac story, New York University, University of Michigan, University of Cincinnati, Point Park University. Out of those that I named, who do you think has the most Broadway representation?
Jacob. What do you think?
I mean, I feel like Juilliard's like the obvious answer, but I feel like it's probably like number two or something.
Mm-hmm. Pace.
I would say maybe Carnegie Mellon or BoCo.
I'm going to tell you, you're all wrong. It's New York University.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But there is a list of the names of the people that went to these that are represented on Broadway right now. So before we go to break, let me see if I'm going to do a membership drive thing now. No, we're going to do it after break. But call, please, 512-472-5667. We will show you our gratitude for having you here, and the gratitude we as volunteers here at the radio station have just having the opportunity to work here. But as you know, we do our mid-hour legal ID right at this point that we do as a... we just sort of reach into the bag of legal IDs that we have, and we run, and let's see who we have today. And after this legal ID, we're going to go right into some messages from other people that we are grateful who are sponsoring us.
Hey, we're at Comedy Sports Austin. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM.
Do something funny.
Do something funny.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hi, Diana. Nothing, just baking cookies. No, I wasn't afraid. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, DJ. 512-472-5667. Before we go on and talk about Tommy, I've been meaning for the past month and a half to talk about Carolee Biddle, because she listens from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, from a farm. She's got two horses, two donkeys, eight dogs, and 27 cats. And she lives there with her husband, Michael, but more important, her dogs and cats. I've known Carolee for 20-some odd years and just love her dearly. And I was able to spend time with her. And she and her husband, Michael, were wonderful hosts to me when I came over to stay there. And just wanted to shout out to her. And I've been meaning to do that since I got back in town. I never did. Because I'm really, as we mentioned beforehand, I'm not a nice person. So here with us from City Theater's production of The Who's Tommy, we have the director, Jeff Hinkle. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Lisa. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. A little sleepy.
Yeah, what's happening? No, forget it. Playing Tommy is Jacob Barber.
Howdy.
Playing Mrs. Walker is Wendy Zavaleta.
Hey there.
And playing, I think I can say this, the pimp, is Michelle Malaya.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Hey, good.
How are you?
So, Jeff Hinkle, what is this show, Tommy? Tell us about it.
Messing up your microphone. Holy
cow. Don't mess up my microphone.
So Tommy's based on The Who's work. It's actually called The Who's Tommy. And it's the story of a young lad who is... goes through some pretty traumatic experiences, and it's also kind of his process to not only fame but also to healing and reconciling the family and all the good stuff.
He was one of the early adopters of PTSD, because this album, The Who, came out as a concept album back in the 70s, like 74, 75. Anybody, those of you that are musically inclined?
I would say something like that.
68.
No. 68? Mm-hmm. That's when the Tommy came out?
Yeah, the movie came out, I think, 76.
Oh, my Lord.
75, sorry, 75.
Okay, so I was only 10 years old. Okay, good. I'm younger than I thought. Really? 68? Mm-hmm. Wow. That was one of the first albums I ever got. Anyway, we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about me. So this is a musical that opened as a Broadway musical about 25 years ago, I'm going to guess.
I think it's 93, Jacob.
Yeah, it's 93.
Somebody do the math. Is that 25 years?
24.
I was
25,
close.
25, you're right. I'm sorry. You're
Jacob's
right.
A genius.
Okay.
I'm behind the times.
And it's pretty, it seems to me to be, is it pretty close to the concept album in the movie in terms of plot and narrative?
Oh, I don't want to go on for too long. It's a fascinating thing because it is. It's absolutely true to the album. Townsend wrote the album originally as...
Pete.
Yeah, Pete. My pal Pete. Anyway, he originally wrote the album as kind of a cautionary tale to the people who were following. It was actually more about himself and The Who and Pete Townsend, Eric Clapton. And it basically was, don't follow rock stars like messiahs. It was one of his messages he was trying to send out. But it's actually kind of, he had a lot of personal things that kind of parallel Tommy's life. And one of the things I find fascinating about it is that he was attempting to kind of heal himself, and he was using art as therapy. And the Broadway musical is much more about that than it is about don't follow rock stars.
It's funny having, well, I knew the album and of course I saw the movie. I never got that message ever. Yeah. I never got don't follow rock stars. I got the more the PTSD message.
And more.
Yeah. So Michelle, I'm going to put you right on the line, on the whatever the word is I'm trying to come up with, on the spot. Because I think most people know Tommy, or at least if they know Tommy, they know the character Tommy. They know Mrs. Walker. But they don't know what the role of the pimp is, I don't think. Tell us about it.
So Tommy's parents engage in a variety of different ways to try and help him begin communicating again. And after many failed attempts in a desperate act, his father takes him to an area of town that is known to be frequented by women of the night. Mm-hmm. And so there is a period where basically I'm trying to convince him that one of my particular girls would be able to give eyesight to the blind, which is the name of the song that I sing in the show. And so that's my role, essentially, is trying to sell Mr. Walker, because Tommy Walker doesn't have any response, on why hiring one of my girls, one in particular, is beneficial. However, in the show, he has the option of four.
Oh, okay. And yes, Jeff Hinkle wants to say something.
Just a little trivia. That's the only song on the album that wasn't written by Pete. Well, three songs weren't written by Pete Townsend. That's the only one that wasn't written by a member of The Who.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. And I always thought, so you've taught me something, as you usually do when you come on the show. I always thought that Roger Daltrey was the main author of most of those songs.
No, he was just the voice of Tommy.
Yeah, then. Yeah. That's... So, Jacob, tell us about Tommy. Who's that character for you?
I think Tommy's somebody who wants just a human connection so desperately. And when he finds it in droves, you know, he loves it, but he doesn't actually find what he's looking for in that, you know, which is, you know, so often the case with people who experience fame. But I think, you know, ultimately he's somebody who's just desperately reaching out to, in the show, like his younger self, the people around him. And when it turns out the people that he loves most, he first turns them away, and then he finds them, you know, with Wendy, who's playing Mrs. Walker, he finds them waiting for him with open arms still. And I think that's, you know, definitely the core of the character there, is just going through that journey of, you know, awakening, pushing people away, and then coming back to them when you need to.
Now, this play is done with two actors that play Tommy. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the other actor.
Aiden Lindsay, who is playing young Tommy, he's an incredible voice, incredible actor. He does some makeup too. He does like all of the bruises and stuff that you'll see on him, and he does a little bit on me for continuity's sake. But he's a lot of fun. He reminds me a lot of my little brother, and which to me is he's a little punk.
So he's playing Tommy at what age?
He plays 10-year-old Tommy the most of the show. Yeah. He is four for a very brief period, but for most of the show, he's 10-year-old Tommy.
So then, he's a kid who we've all been cautioned not to work with.
I would say,
I have to say, Aiden, he's probably the most professional of all of us.
Oh, absolutely.
He is.
Not working with children and animals is not about the professionality. It's about they will steal the limelight. Yeah. So here's what I want to do. You're going to do a little song, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to do a song, then we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to learn all about Wendy's character and hear her sing a little bit. Okay, what song are you going to do for us?
I will be singing The Amazing Journey, which is actually the first song I sing in the show, and it just kind of introduces my character and sets the stage for the rest of the play.
Okay, great. And you can hear in your headphones, okay? Because that's where you're going to get your music.
I think so.
Here we go. This is, hold on, I lost your name. Don't tell me, because it's Jacob Barber singing a song from City Theater's production of The Who's Tommy.
Deaf, dumb, and blind boy, he's in a quiet vibration land. Strange as it seems, his musical dreams ain't quite so bad. Years old with thoughts as bold as thought can be. Loving life and becoming wise in simplicity. Sickness will surely take the mind where minds can't usually go. Come on the amazing journey and learn all you should know. Vague haze of delirium seeps in his mind. Soaring and flying images bind. I'll be your leader, I'll be your guide. On the amazing journey, together we'll ride. Nothing to say, nothing to hear, and nothing to see. Each sensation makes a note in his symphony. Sickness will surely take the mind where minds can't usually go. Come on the amazing journey and learn all you should know. His eyes are the eyes that transmit all they know. The truth burns so bright it can melt winter snow. A towering figure so brilliant, so high. A white sun burning the earth and the sky.
That was amazing. Thank you so much. Wow. So I couldn't help but noticing a slight English accent there. So you playing this as a Brit?
I mean, I am trying to.
I believe you, because as we're speaking right now, we're not. So here's what we got to do. We have to take a little break, and we're going to hear from our sponsors. And while you're listening to our sponsor stuff, please dial 512-472-5667. We'll come right back with DJ Harris and the City Theater. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps with co-host Tracy Schultz.
Hey.
Wait for your cue. We've been having a lot of fun talking with the folks at The Who's Tommy. Before I go back and talk to Wendy Zavaleta about her role of Mrs. Walker, I want to just stop in and chat with DJ Harris a little longer. Hey, DJ.
Lisa. You know what, Lisa? We have shortened our membership drive here at Co-op Radio. We're only doing 10 days. In the past, we've done a little bit more than 2 weeks. And in the past, you've had two opportunities to call during Offstage and On the Air to renew your membership or to become a new member. This year, this is your only opportunity. And we're running running out of time. We've only got about 10 minutes left in today's show.
Yeah.
512-472-5667. This is it. You've only got 10 more minutes to say thank you to Lisa.
So how many of you listen to your public radio station or your community radio station, and you listen for years and you partake of that, but don't actually participate and give?
It's a thing.
Now is your opportunity to amend for all that and give to Co-op. We need you. You are a part of our family. Please stop what you're doing right now. Pick up the phone, 512-472-5667. We'll show our gratitude by always being here for you.
You betcha. And we also have some really, really fine thank you gifts. But the key thing is for you to call 512-472-5667. Become a member. Renew your membership.
What if I don't have a phone but only have a computer or a device?
If you only have a computer or a device, you can go to our website at koop.org.
Easy for you to say.
You bet. And there's a big red donate button. It's like almost the size of the screen.
It is. It's huge.
And you punch that and it follows you through there. It asks you some questions about you and your credit card and all that kind of jazz. And then you have an opportunity to say, hey, I want some comments. I want to say something really nice about Lisa. And you can do that right there. 512-472-5667. 667 or koop.org.
I will actually go out on a limb and say, if you don't like us and you want to tell us, call in, become a member of the station, and tell me how bad I am in those comments. I'm anxious to hear it.
Oh. By making a donation, you become a member of the station, so your voice counts. So you can
vote kick me out.
Yes.
Please.
You can donate just to do that.
I'm begging you. All right. Well, thank you, DJ.
Thanks, Lisa, and thanks for having me. It's
been
so much
fun.
Okay.
You're going to be back, finally, hopefully. I talk a lot. It's pretty bad. Wendy.
Hi.
You're playing Mrs. Walker.
I am.
You know, Mr. Walker, or Captain Walker, didn't come home. His unborn child will never know him. Wow, we're
exactly.
Like sisters.
I know, right?
We finish each other's sentence. So you're playing Mrs. Walker.
Yeah. Yeah, and so at the top of the show, obviously her husband is World War II. He is captured, presumed dead, and she's a single mother at that point.
Yep.
And so, you know, my take on her, I actually have a special needs child. He's got Asperger's, and he didn't speak until he was 5.
Mm.
So I've based a lot of, you know, this performance for me on my experiences with him, the failing marriage, the social problems, the many doctors that you go to. And so I try not to put any judgment on some of her not so great decisions.
It's, you know, having a special needs child. And again, if you think about when this was written, back in those days, it was like perfectly okay to take your child and shove them off somewhere. So in a weird way, they were good parents.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Well,
Jeff Hinkle
wants
to speak.
Interrupt, it's also, you know, it's one of the things I think about. You know, you have a young lady, I think she's, 16 when she meets her husband, 16 or 17?
18 or, so.
Because she has to get pregnant, have a kid and all that.
Yeah,
there's another year in there.
Yeah, so, and I look at it and go, well, not only in the time period, but she's just doing the best she can with what she has. And she has a husband that comes back who's traumatized from the war. And even those decisions they make of like, yeah, we'll leave him with the uncle and we'll let the kind of bully and angry cousin take care of him because I'm just trying to keep my marriage and family together. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly how,
So, I'm sorry, I have to go off on a tangent here.
Okay.
Jeff Hinkle, lovely man, is the director of this piece and is very apologetic about directing.
I know.
Please,
I know.
Sorry, I have a small, tiny little suggestion. But you know what? That's, Columbo was that way too. Just want to go on record as saying that.
I do solve crimes on my spare time.
I do. So one of the things that's interesting that until this conversation hasn't really come up to me is a lot of the stuff that we're talking about is dealing with a special needs child.
Yeah.
The story of Tommy is really the story of teenage angst that we're seeing so much these days with Dear Evan Hansen and Be More Chill. So it's it's a very timely piece, isn't it?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Well, thank you for being on the show. I think we got that solved.
All right, good.
So, Wendy, you're going to do a song, are you not?
Yes, I am.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to sing Smash the Mirror, and this is after she's had a pretty horrible argument with her husband, and she is lashing out at Tommy, but I think she's also kind of subconsciously wanting to wake him up.
Okay. Well, this is Wendy Zavalata with City Theater's production of The Who's Tommy.
You
don't answer my call with even a nod or a wink, but you gaze at your own reflection. You don't seem to see me, but I think you can see yourself. How can the mirror affect you? Can you hear me, or do I surmise that you fear me? Can you hear my temper? Rise, 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 rise. Do you hear or fear, or do I smash the mirror? Do you hear or fear, or do I smash the mirror? Do you hear or fear, or do I smash the mirror? Do you hear or fear, or do I smash the mirror?
Yikes, don't smash the mirror. Good job. So we just have time to get the information. This show is open right now.
It is, it's right.
It is. And when do you close?
The
30th of this month. And where can folks go to get more information?
CityTheaterAustin.org. It's like the first time I've ever got it right.
Oh, my very good. Excellent. Well, thank you guys for coming on the show. Thanks for sharing your wonderful wisdom and your songs.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay. That was Jeff Hinkle, Jacob Barber, Wendy Zavaleta, and Michelle Malia, all of City Theater's production of The Who. Play now through the 30th. For more information, citytheater.org. And I'm not going to go to music because I'm going straight over here to DJ Harris. Thanks. What's going on, DJ Harris?
Well, this Lisa, is a wonderful show, Lisa. You do a heck of a job. Sorry that Nicole's not here today, but Tracy did an admirable job.
Tracy did an excellent job. I love having Tracy on the mic.
Thank you. I do what I can with what I got.
Well, we got a roll. Austin Modern News is next with Tracy Schultz.
Yeah.
And we will go out with a little bit more of Tommy, just so you can hear a little bit more of the Broadway musical. See you guys. We'll see you next week when we look at what's offstage and on the air.
Ever since I was a young boy, I've played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all.